Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show. It is Monday. Having some music issues, but that's okay. Voice is working just fine. Like I said, this is the Cave Show. Welcome. This is the Cave Show with PLR. It is Monday. I guess we're going to have a short show because there's really nothing to talk about. And what's going on in the world of sports that's even remotely interesting? It's not like we have a 15-year-old taking Wimbledon by storm, finally coming up against a top-ranked player to find out what she did today. It's not like possibly the best player in the NBA swapped teams. It's not like possibly someone who said they were happy playing in OKC decided to move on. It's not like a team that's having to figure out how to fill out a roster. It's not like there's a home run derby tonight. So I don't know what we're going to talk about. So I guess we'll just dive right in and check it out. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Warner. Can they let them know PLR sent you? They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. Become a club member. Get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine. Like I said, get them to let them know PLR sent you 10% off your cigar purchase. A couple restrictions apply. But definitely get there and check them out. Wow. That's all I can say is wow. There is so much going on. Definitely give a call in. We're laboring to get Earl Burnett, casual sports fame himself, on the air very shortly. I do want to take calls, though, until then. Calling number is 917-889-7828. That is the Carrie Lackey Law Line. So give a call in. All calls are made via the Carrie Lackey Law Line. Do have a caller on hold. Thank you for your patience. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR.
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm here.
What up, Blue? How are you, buddy?
All right. Yeah, we got. I mean, there is a lot to discuss. I mean, we had the World Cup soccer women's team win the championship yesterday.
Yeah, they look great. Watched every minute of that.
Yeah, fantastic! Fantastic game.
You know something I think is really funny is I agree that they should be paid more money.
Yes.
And I'm going to say something that's going to piss a lot of people off. I don't think they should get paid the same amount as the men. And it's not because their product isn't better, because I think it is. It's not because they're not a better team, because I think they are. It's not because I don't think they're as entertaining, because I think they're more entertaining. It basically boils down to numbers, and there's no way to get around the numbers. Even though there are more jerseys sold for the women's team over the men's team, even though more people are into the women's team right now, it seems, than the men's team, and even though the women's team is more successful, far more successful than the men's team, the men brought in almost $4 billion or $6 billion when they played in the World Cup. The women are going to bring in about $132 million for playing in the World Cup. I didn't major in math at ASU. I did not. But $4 billion, $4 to $5 billion versus $132 million, there is a big difference in the two funds.
Yes.
And so you can see one is paid more. It doesn't necessarily mean they deserve to be paid more, but they are. It's not like tennis where if more people are coming out to see Serena and Venus and Halep and those ladies play, then the Federers and the Nadals, or even if it's on equal footing, or the ratings are equal, they're at the tournaments at the same time. So you could justify the difference. It's not a World Cup where it's women's and men's mixed together. They're opposite years, so the money that's coming in, the revenue is being brought in, is two totally different entities. Even though it all goes up to, you know, the U.S. soccer, it's just not – I don't think you can pay someone more unless the money equals that out. And like I said, I know that's an unpopular statement, and I'm willing to live with that, again, just by saying I don't think it's because the men are better and more entertaining. It's just simply bringing more money. And that's
– yeah.
That's really – it's a bottom line
deal.
How
are they bringing more money if you know, they're you know – say, less superior than the women's team, which, you know, seems to be a lot better than the men's team.
But because the money that's generated by the Men's World Cup is way more money generated than the Women's World Cup. And, again, this isn't saying that's fair, but it's true. And so it's like basketball. There's some really good women basketball players. There's some really good men basketball players. But the money that the NBA drives is a whole lot more than what the WNBA drives. That's why you could pay someone a max deal of $220 million. And unfortunately, that's why the women, some players are making like $60,000 a year. It's just not, the money isn't the same. And so, yeah, is it fair? No, it's not.
No.
Especially when you go out with entertainment and talent. But the money is the money, and the that old show on the four letters, the numbers don't lie.
No, they don't.
So, but men, some crazy congratulations. They should be landing in Newark soon if they haven't landed already. So it's going to be really, really cool.
And the parade is Wednesday.
Yep. I wish I was back there because I would definitely be up and jumping up and down with that incredible team.
Well, here's a thought for you. Now they've won four World Cup titles. Which team do you think stands out as the best?
I really wasn't the biggest soccer fan to say when Fowdy and those guys played.
99.
So it's kind of unfair. So, Scott, 99, I watched the title game, but I didn't watch anything else. So
Right.
So it was unfair. And then the last World Cup, I watched a little bit more with Hope Solo and that team. But
this
team I watched a lot. So I guess I would be an unfair person to really say which team was better. I guess I would – lean towards this one just because I saw every game, whereas before I just saw like the last two games.
All right, I'll give you that. Hope Solo, that's Han Solo's granddaughter. Oh.
Oh, wow.
That was a joke.
The Force is not with her, though. She's incredible.
No, I guess
she did a great job announcing and doing color, and she was all over the World Cup and incredible goal, you know, and it's because of people like Fowdy and Solo and I can't think of her name now, the one that got ripped for taking her shirt off in 99.
Brandi Chastain.
It's because of those players and because of what they were able to accomplish and be so consistent and build the foundation that makes this team so watchable now.
Yeah, I think the 99 team brought new interest to women's soccer. I think women's sports in general.
Yes, I can see that.
I mean, because, you know, it gets a lot more noticed now than, say, it did, like, before 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, also now there's social media. There wasn't Twitter in 99. There wasn't Instagram in 99. There, so it makes a difference.
All right. Okay, I got a split ball, but thanks anyway.
Hey, no problem. Anytime, buddy. Talk to you soon. All right.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Always good to catch up with my man, Lou, good friend of the program. Sounds like he got that that dinner bell call or that honeydew list call. Yeah, congratulations to them. And like I said, I know it's unpopular what I'm saying in terms of why they shouldn't make more money, but it's just the truth. If you're bringing in anything billion with a B, over 100 and some million with an M, you can't fight facts. Facts are facts. So, look, teachers deserve to make more money. I hear people say all the time, I can't believe a baseball player can make $12 million a year and a teacher can only make $45,000. And I agree with you. Teachers obviously are incredibly important to everything. I mean, a great teacher can form a great, not just a great student, but help form a great person. And I get that. Sadly, though, and the truth of it is, no matter how you want to slice it, no one is paying $100 for a jersey that says teacher on it. No one is paying to go sit in the classroom and watch a teacher teach. And like I said, it's not that it's a fair thing. It's just it's a real thing. So, but that is what it is. Like I said, we got so much stuff to get to today, but right now, I have the man himself, Casual Sports Network, the man that makes that whole thing go, and also where you can hear the Cave Show as well every day at 3 o'clock. I have the man himself on the line, on the Lackey Law line with me right now, the one, the only, Earl Burnett, that's going to try to convince me that Boogie Cousins should be over at Waterworld right now in Peoria, sliding down the slide, instead of being an NFL. my brother, welcome to the show.
What's up, man? The one and only PLR, who's 90% right when it comes down to the Suns. Man, I appreciate you having me on, man. But there's a lot of good stuff out there, man.
I appreciate you coming on. We've been texting back and forth nonstop.
Yeah.
So I was like, if you get a minute, just come on here so I can talk to him. Let's go ahead and stop this three-way texting. And for a second, I was like, man, I feel like back in the early 2000s, I got my two-way Motorola.
Right. Yeah, that does. It just keeps going, doesn't it? I think that three-way started, two or three months ago, and it's still going.
Has not stopped.
Yeah.
I'm about to put it in the group.
You know, I mean, sometimes it hits up at like late night when you're laying up there. I'm like, oh, what the heck? These dudes talking about now.
Yeah, and we know who starts.
And so
he starts. And then
exactly.
We can't stop. You know what? I've got to ask you that question first. How surprised were you that Kawhi, and I'm just going to call him the silent assassin from now on, could make that power move like that and end up with the Clippers with Paul George?
To be honest with you, man, I was not surprised that he would go to the Clippers. I was not surprised at all that he would leave Toronto, because he wanted to go home from the beginning when the Spurs were supposed to trade him into an LA team at the time. And it didn't strike me as Kawhi being the type of guy that wants to go join and be a third fiddle. I didn't see him as that. So I knew he wasn't going to the Lakers. So I knew he wanted to go to LA. That part was easy, that he would go to the Clippers. The shocking part was how he orchestrated to get his running mate to get with him. Nobody saw that coming. I don't know how they got that done, but they got that done, and that was a surprise. But it did not surprise me at all to see him actually leave Toronto, because he did what he came there to do. I mean, what else is the ultimate goal other than to get the championship? I mean, I know somebody would probably say defend it, but other than that, he wanted to go home, so he did that. That did not surprise me at all.
You know what? I love the way the Clippers were stealth-like, like Kawhi. I've noticed something about the Clippers, and it used to be like this with the Lakers before. And this isn't knocking Pelinka, because I think it's funny how Pelinka was a bum, and then he got AD, then he stopped being a bum. And then Kawhi went to the Clippers, and now he's a bum. But that's a whole other Laker love story that Laker fans are having. But the one thing I've noticed about the Lakers that's different than when Jerry West was there, they talk too much. Magic talking about last year, oh, we back now, but next year we're back. And L.A. radio, the Grandersons and the Keyshawns and the Sedanos, and why would anyone not want to come to Lakers? Why would you not want to play with LeBron? I mean, they were nonstop. The Clippers just quietly went about their business. They said absolutely nothing. And respect to Toronto, they said absolutely nothing. And so you could kind of understand why Kawhi, with his personality, just didn't want to be part of that nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. That all came from his camp, that if you were going to start talking, then you were going to hurt your own chances of signing them. That was clear. They made that clear from day one. They kind of dismissed Doc Rivers' little tampering thing earlier. But, they made it clear. Look, no, don't leak nothing. And that's exactly how it went down. And, you know, all free agencies should go down like that, where you have no clue. I hate when all this stuff starts surfacing. This guy saying this guy saying that he's going to go here. I mean, just let it happen when the teams let it happen. That would be awesome to see it just all surprisingly happen. Kind of like it almost did this time. It was a lot of surprises. I mean, who would have knew that Russell was going to end up in Golden State? I mean, that was not one team that was even listed. So, I mean, it was pretty awesome. This whole free agency thing was pretty awesome. But I hope down in the future that a lot of teams take that advice or that way of how the Clippers did it, because that was really awesome how they did that. And then especially with the bombshell they came out with, and nobody – they probably were working on that, for all the offseason, as far as we know. We have no clue.
Correct. And who knew that they were all bringing Paul George in to meet? And you know what, though? I think a lot of it, everyone is talking about how the move was made, and on the Carrie Lackey Law Line, the one and only Earl Burnett, Mr. Casual Sports Network himself, everybody's talking about that. But you know what? OKC, I think Sam Presti kind of saw the writing on the wall when Dame Lillard waved them bye-bye last year. They just were not going to be good enough to compete.
Right.
And making the playoffs every year is well and good. But if you're first round exiting every year, you have no money, you have no cap flexibility, there's no one to move, you don't have a young dude in your system, yet and still you're going to pay Paul George all that money, yet and still you're still on the hook with Westbrook all that money. I think some of the writing could have been on the wall. No one mentioned it or even noticed it when there was rumblings about them possibly trading Steven Adams. That kind of should have kind of sent a note to everyone, hey, look, things might not be quite as stable at OKC, and maybe that owner doesn't want to keep spending all this luxury money to get eliminated in the first round. I mean, hindsight being 2020, but when you look back, are you noticing some of those signs as well?
Absolutely. That team, like you said, was just stagnant. I mean, but my question would come back. The question now is going to all ride on Westbrook. It's going to all look at him. Everybody's going to look at him and go, okay, is he the issue why that team can't get over the hump? Why do superstars play with him and all of a sudden they're gone? So is he the reason, or is it just that whatever structure they did from the beginning was just not good enough. Like you just said, it's just not good enough, especially with these teams today are doing all these things they've done over this free agency. Guys are going for max deals now instead of trying to go three up superstars now. It's just max deal, and they're just getting with somebody else on a max deal. It's like, let's just go see what we can do with just two rather than three. So, I mean, OKC now pretty much hitting the dump button. Like you said, it was clearly they were just not going to hang in this West. And when they get in the playoffs, they just did not have enough firepower to hang with the number five team in the daggone West. So,
yeah,
I think it was a good move for them to go ahead and dump. But my question now is for them is, where do they go from here? They got a couple of years now before they can reset everything. And I heard there was also talks that Clipper trade was supposed to be both Westbrook and George going to Toronto to join Kawhi. There were some rumblings about that, but then it didn't fall through because they didn't have enough to do all those deals and everything, so it ended up going the opposite direction. So they were dumping the dump button to begin with in OKC. So nobody knows the behind the scenes of when and how.
I heard that too, Paul George to Toronto, but it basically boiled down to is that Toronto wasn't about to give up five future picks and
exactly.
Siakam.
And Siakam, exactly.
And
he's their future, yeah. Right.
You know, but because they do have a future and they do have some – after this year when Gasol's contract is up, they've got some and Lowry's contract is up this year, they've got some real
right.
– friendly contracts in terms of space that they can do.
Exactly.
But I want to get this. I want to tell you what your thoughts on this. Today, I don't know if you noticed this morning, but the Denver Nuggets traded a first-round pick to OKC for Jeremy Grant, which is everyone is busy talking about the Clippers and the Lakers. Jeremy Grant teaming up at power forward with Paul Millsap is going to be an incredible boost for Denver. That is – everyone is just – forgetting Denver is there. And I kind of like it because Denver basically said last year, hey, we're here, but don't notice us. That's fine. We just are young. We'll come up. But what I noticed in that trade is they got a first-round pick. And then they got five from L.A. and some swaps. Now, the picks from L.A.
Right.
aren't going to be that great anyway because L.A. is going to be in the playoffs. So when you talk about those first-round swaps, I'm like, great. Tell me the last star that came out at the 24th spot. But
– right.
I think Russ is going to end up in Charlotte. And I think
that
they're going to send Russ and three of those picks to MJ, who in turn to Oklahoma is going to send back Bismack Biyombo and Nick Batum, who have expiring contracts at the end of next year. Their contract will match Russell Westbrook's contract. And even though Mike will have to eat the Russell contract, he's going to free up all the other money on the books and in turn get three or four picks as well. And I think that's why OKC is lining up picks. I heard the Detroit rumor. I don't buy it. I really don't. Blake Griffin can't stay healthy for more than a week. Miami, they have no assets to trade. And when you trade Russ, you're not trading him to get picks back per se. You're trading him to get some friendly contracts so you can get them off your books. But you're going to have to
exactly.
So
right.
I'm just saying it may happen. It may not happen. But just like I said with some other stuff that dropped, I think he's going there. And he's a Jordan Brand guy. And Charlotte needs to sell some seats because the only guy that moved some seats is now playing in Boston.
Right.
Something tells me that that's adding up. I could be wrong, but I'm putting it out.
That's not a bad choice. I think that's a good choice that he would end up there. I mean, because when you think of the style of play, he's a ball-dominant guard, which is what Kemba was anyway in Charlotte. So now he's just having another guy that was an MVP that can come there and keep some butts in the seats and while they're struggling, going through what they're going through until they can rebuild again. But the trade value, you just said Biyombo and who else?
Nicholas Batum. Their contracts are ridiculous contracts.
Yes. Now, how is that going to help them? How is that going to look value-wise? Because when you make a trade like that, I mean, Westbrook's contract is like what, 170 mil?
But you only got to match the yearly contract, not the total compensation.
Correct. That's right. You're right.
When you put the Nicholas Batum 20 some million and the Biombo 18 million, now you see what I'm saying, right? That goes out to the Russ contract, but they're both unrestricted free agents next year. So Oklahoma City will get off the books completely. So if they ship out Russ and send two or three first round picks along with him, then that may be something that Charlotte can have because they'll need the picks. And like, I know they got Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier can play alongside Russ. It doesn't matter because whoever plays alongside Russ, they're not going to see the ball that much anyway in the backcourt.
Exactly.
They spent money that they didn't need to on Rozier. But when you look at the cap structure of the other teams, when you send Russ, you got to send picks. It's amazing how Jeremy Grant just pops over to Denver for a pick.
Yeah, I didn't even know about that. That happened. That's a good pickup as well. Yeah, that's a good pickup for Denver. Yeah.
Great pickup, especially since you don't know the condition of Michael Porter on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one only Earl Burnett, Mr. Casual Sports. So you said the Suns might not make the playoffs for a few years, and I agree with you because we're going to get into these Suns. But you know what? I sent a tweet to you or text to you, and I said, in 2 years, the Suns should be better than the Lakers and the Spurs. And I say that not because I think anyone on this team is better than LBJ or the Brown or, as of today, LaMarcus Aldridge. But I do say this. LeBron ain't going to be LeBron in two more years. LeBron's going to be old. He's only 37 years old. Aiden should be better. Booker should be better. Everyone should be better.
Right.
Oklahoma City's already fallen off. I know what Dallas is doing, but until I see Porzingis last the season and play, I'm not completely sold on that. I'm sold on Luka, not sold on Porzingis yet. I think this is the perfect time for the Suns to do what they're doing. You bring in a point guard that can handle business for right now until you can go out and get a different one or bring someone up. And you got two budding superstars on your team. At the same time, LaMarcus Aldridge should be about 35. The same time, LeBron will be 36, 37. The same time, all these other teams, even Golden State, will be older than. Steph will be 33, 34. Klay will be in his 30s. Draymond will be in his 30s. They're going to age out these other teams. That's why I think they're going to be there. Teams like Denver will be there because they're young. Teams like Sacramento will be there because they're young. I like what these young teams are doing, saying let's be patient and not push and not mortgage everything now because we've only got a year or two of a window to work our way into these other teams basically aging out.
You know, that's a good point, but what gets me through this whole thing is a team like the Suns, the method of how they go about their business and how, okay, we're 9 years into continue trying to wait to get back to that playoff and it keeps changing. Okay, I get that. They're a whole new regime. They have to start over, so that's not going to happen overnight. We get that. But you're talking about these other two teams or all these other teams in their division aging, but the method of what those teams do in free agency, who's to say they won't go out and get themselves and replenish what they've done, what they can do, and still be better than the Suns? My whole point when I say that is, the Suns need to, at some point, reach out and make that big splash type move to make them relevant. Because if they don't, that's where the NBA is right now. Look at these teams. Look at all the Pacific Division has, what, six max players in it now? I mean, come on. You got to reach out and get your team relevant because that's where the NBA is. And if you don't, these teams are going to lose guys. They're just going to replenish it. You're going to still be in mud, still standing there trying to say we're going to go piece by piece, by step, little baby steps you keep taking, and it seems like you're not going anywhere. You're not making any progress because those other teams continue to do what's happening around them in the NBA. Hey, we got to go get the max players, get the max, the star players. Talent wins playoff games. The only thing the Suns have going for them right now is that we are hoping that Booker and Aiden can be our max players a few years from now. That's all we have. Unless they change their way of thinking when they go through the free agency, when they go through the draft and all these things, they have to change their way of thinking and get on board with where the NBA is, because if they don't, they're going to stay right there in that rut. Unless, of course, again, like I said, Booker and Ayton all of a sudden become what we hope they can become.
See, and I think they will. And I think they're going to Denver method, because people in Denver said the same thing when they moved Carmelo Anthony. But look at them. They went out and got very smartly and got Joker. They went out and drafted smartly and got a Jamal Murray. They made a shrewd trade to bring in a very young and raw Gary Harris. And then they brought back a veteran and a Paul Millsap. They went that route. Portland drafted McCollum and drafted Dame. Then they made a good trade with Denver and brought in Jurkic. Then,
hey, B, let me ask you this. I get your point. I don't mean to interrupt you, but let me just ask you this question. Tell me this right now. Don't you think for one second that D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle would have made the Suns at least competitive against those other two teams, those other four teams in their division right now? They would be able to compete with those teams if they make that splash move. That's my point. They have to get on board, man. They got it. And why don't they make those moves? Why don't free agents want to come here? Because what's stopping them from doing those moves?
The fact that they got to get over what Sarver's doing. I think James is going to do that. But you know what?
Exactly.
I wouldn't have thought it was Randall. I wouldn't have. I really wouldn't have.
You don't like the fact that he could be a power forward for the team that needs a power forward?
This takes us
into our conversation earlier on the text, is why I said we should have got Boogie. Because Boogie would have took care of the center position, and we could have moved Aiden to that four position. Now that takes care of that position, now you're even more strong in the paint. So, I mean, I thought they should have went and got him really cheap. He was sitting there with nobody, had no interest in Boogie Cousins, and I'm telling you, it takes about a good year, solid year, to get back to your form after you have an injury like an Achilles, or you have an injury like an ACL. Those major injuries, you don't come back the same player exactly the first year. But that second year, you start to get that confidence back, and you start to look like the same player you were a year before. I'm telling you, this year he's for his Laker team. Watch Boogie just blow up. I'm telling you. And the Suns had an opportunity right there to make themselves relevant, at least to have some type of move that could compete with these teams. That's 16 games. You're going to be pretty much up. You're pretty much going to lose, what, I'd say 14 of those games. I mean, your record last year in that division was 3-13. What do you think it's going to be now?
I don't think Boogie was the answer, though. I really don't. To be perfectly honest with you, if they sign any free agent center right now, and I don't even know if that's in their wheelhouse, I would say go get Dwight.
Even that would be a good move. Yes, I agree with that, too. The point being is moving Ayton to the four is the point being, is how much more better would he be? I mean, let's just ask yourself this. Remember this. Last year, when he back-to-back games he played, that when Igor put him on LeBron one game and put him on Giannis the next game, and Ayton excelled in keeping his feet and keeping in front of those guys, played them to a T. Can you imagine him playing the four?
I don't want him to play. I remember him at that school in Tucson playing the four, and I think he's better.
That's cool.
That's cool. You know,
yeah, that's true.
At least I'm calling him a school today. I'm being nice. I think he's better at the five. I just think Aiden had a couple things working against him last year. One, you're going to make me kick dirt on the dead. I really hate kicking dirt on the dead. Eagle is a terrible play caller and running plays for Aiden.
I agree.
He did not put him in positions to succeed. You don't want an offensive center catching a ball, initiating offense, a foot outside the elbow with his back to the basket, because you've just basically taken away everything offensively you have to guard. I think this year, with a coach that knows what he's doing, we're not going to see him in those positions. Two, it's not like he's going to be playing the type of centers that he's going to be playing is actually going to help him, and he won't be starstruck this year. There were times in talking to him last year, he seemed starstruck that he was playing this guy with the guy. But he's not going up against
He even admitted it. He even admitted a lot of that stuff, too.
He's not playing Kareem and Parrish, and you got to slide him off of them. He's playing Jokic, who comes up and initiates.
After his conversation after that Jazz game, he made Gobert seem like that was Kareem.
You know what I mean? So there's very few guys that he has to do that against. I don't want him playing caught on the wing, trying to play, and I know KD's out this year, trying to play KD at the four. I don't want him out there spending that energy. I want him down low, getting rebounds. Does that mean I may have to battle Andre Drummond? Battle Andre Drummond. Because you know what? Detroit will end up losing the game anyway. Drummond will get his 20 rebounds, and they're going to lose. Who cares? So I think a lot of this will happen this year, more seamless. And you making me kick dirt on the day, and I hate this. I just think the coaching level went from a 4 to an 8. And I think we'll see that right away because I think guys will be put in positions to succeed. It's not a mistake that there are only a couple guys left on this team from when McDonald was even here. I don't think that's a mistake at all. And that's including the coach.
Do you see, with that being said, you're saying it's a coaching thing, do you actually see Aiden being able to step that gain his game up to a point where he's a dominant defender and dominant in the paint? Does he have that in him? Because a lot of people that I'm hearing from say they've been up close to him, and it's like he's just like you said, awestruck first because he's a rookie. I get that. But I'm talking about, does he have the killer instinct in him? And sometimes it comes out, and then sometimes it's passive. So can that be brought out of him, or do you see that happening?
On the Kerry Lockyer line, one only Earl Burnett, yes. I do, because I think this is the coach that we do. Here's where the difference is. When he went to that JC down in Tucson, you had a guy that was a recruit that everybody wanted. His coach was there. He knew he had him for a year. He just do what most coaches, other than Coach K or Cal, do. He let his boys play. He knew they were good. He knew they would all be gone. Then he comes here in his first year. He plays for a coach that they set up to fail by not even giving him a point guard. He didn't relate to any of the players. He's an assistant coach. Igor is a number one seed assistant coach that can coach his butt off, and that's a good thing. He's not a head coach.
That's correct.
Now you've got a guy that is going to push you and challenge you. He pushed Brown in New Orleans. He could look at Aiden and say, dude, I saw Anthony Davis do this coming out of college, and this is the work he put in. He was better at doing this than you are right now. So, do you want to be that good? It's kind of like the people are fired. I said the difference is all breakfast is, I remember when people eliminated us in the playoffs. This is what I think. They see Chris to say, I saw Michael do this firsthand. I know what Phil told me. I know what Pop told me. I saw Lil Rick win in 5 finals as a player. It's a different point of view. And I think this year, Monty's got to push these guys. Monty's got to rebuild. He's pushed guys into being rebuilt. So I think it's a whole different thing now. I think we're going to see an end that's going to be an effective double-double machine. Not a
stat, I hope so, man.
Not like number 6 in L.A., that was really second last year.
Right.
But
you make some valid points, man. We'll keep texting on it, but
I'll be at all these sites and feeling the pain, but you know what?
Right.
I can honestly say I think for the first time they're going in a good direction, because once you take Alvin Gentry out, in all honesty, and this isn't knocking Hornacek or knocking any of those guys, but you got to honestly, at least I think, this is the first time they've had an NBA coach.
Right.
Like a real NBA coach. And that's going to bring out some real talent. I think Hornacek did a great job his first year. Hornacek's biggest problem isn't that he was a bad coach. Hornacek always just thought from the time he played, you don't have to keep telling grown-ups what they need to do. You give
right.
them their assignments. Man, they do it. That's his only fault, that he didn't do it, and then he didn't have the support of the management. Like when the Morris brothers threw the towel in his face, management should have been at the locker at the end of the game saying, you don't do that. So we'll see. It looks like we lost Earl on the connect, but it's a big, big difference. A couple of things I want to talk about real quick before we jump up out of here. Already hit you on the Russell. Talked about Kawhi and his power move. The Lakers are moving LBJ to point guard. He was a point guard anyway at power forward. Some of these things, sometimes people get there for more reasons than you think. If you're running LeBron in the front court with a healthy Anthony Davis and a Kawhi Leonard and a Paul George, there's a very good chance LeBron James is not your all-star starter in the Western Conference. You put him at point guard, I think Russ is going to the East, and now you only have him in the backcourt competing vote-wise. You don't think who's the best player. Think who gets the most votes. Now, he's in the backcourt with the Steph, and Steph is going to get a ton of votes. Guess who is guaranteed to make an all-star game starter no matter what now? LeBron James. Look at all this stuff. Look at all this. See, everyone looks at basketball and they want to call shows and they want to text you and they want to tweet you. And as young kids say, they want to slide into your DM and do all that ridiculous nonsense. There's more to it than that. Basketball is still a business, and you got to look at it from the business aspect of everything, not just the minute things to say, oh, well, I guess this person is here now. And LeBron James is going to, now he's going to be the best point guard. Nothing that he does on the floor is going to change. The ball was in his hand all the time anyway. He has one of the highest usage rates. There you go, you analytic nerds. I threw out a stat for you. He's going to have one of the most high usage rates in the league anyway. Plus, look at their other point guards on this team. Rajon Rondo cannot play 82 games as a starting point guard in the NBA anymore. Quinn Cook can't guard Brown on a paper bag. You're not going to run him out as a starter as your point guard anyway. Those are two guys to come in and spell you and give you a minute. They're not your starters. Whereas if you're playing LeBron at point, now you can play AD. You can start a Kuzma. You can start a Boogie Cousins. And you can start a Green in your front starting lineup. Now you're coming off your bench, probably some of the weakest scoring and weakest punch as well, but you're booking that if you leave one of your starters on with the second team to anchor it, they can hold the fort down while the other starters get their rest. And then when they come back to end the quarters and the halves, that they'll be okay. But don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself into thinking anything other than this was just a business decision. And knowing that you want LeBron to start all-star games, you want him to have that recognition in L.A., and two, absolutely positively two, you know Rondo can't start 82 games. Sometimes things seem like a big deal when they're not a big deal at all, one iota. Home Run Derby tonight, Major League Baseball, they're going to run out their show. Home Run Derby is actually a lot of fun. It's the one thing that I really like watching. I think it's funny how everyone says, oh, you don't really want to do the Home Run Derby because it messes up your swing and the launch angle and it'll hurt you when the season gets back going and all that nonsense, considering everyone is using launch angles anyway. It's actually kind of funny that people talk about messing up their swing. This isn't the Home Run Derby of old. This isn't where you go out and you're worrying about, oh, well, crap, for one day I was worrying about launch angle and I was worrying about this, I was worrying about that, and now I got to get back into being a contact hitter. There are no contact hitters in baseball anymore because analytics are taking them out of it. So you're going to have Pete Alonso, Cody Bellinger, Josh Bell, Hunter Renfroe, Mike Trout, Franmy Reyes, Mike Moustakas, Gary Sanchez, Alex Bregman, Freddie Freeman, and Jorge Soler in the Home Run Derby tonight. People have asked me a couple times already today, a couple tweets, a couple text messages. I'm saying Cody Bellinger wins this. He's been hot all year. I think it carries on tonight. I think the dark horse, if he is a dark horse, I just think Mike Trout's wing is too sweet, so that's not the name I was going to go. Ha-ha. Alex Bregman is my, or Josh Bell are my other two. So I would pick Bellinger to win. Bregman will be my second choice, and Bell will be my third. Home Run Derby time. Fun to watch. I think it starts at 5 o'clock on the fourth letter. There's so much more to get into. I'm really serious about what I think is going to end up happening with Russell Westbrook and all that nonsense that's going to go on with him. He's out. Steven Adams will be out soon. They are stockpiling all the picks they can because you cannot move Russell Westbrook and that ridiculous contract without attaching picks to it. That is the price of doing business now. You want someone we don't want on our roster anymore, we'll give him to you, but you're going to take some of this with you. You want us to take him, we'll take him, but you're going to give us some more to take him for you. That's the price of doing business in the NBA. Tomorrow we got a lot of good stuff lined up for you. Make sure you're following us on social media. That way you can check out our guests, see who's coming on, and see all that good stuff. The Sports Cave on the Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Remember, Cave is always with the K. The SportsCave.com. Again, Cave is always with a K. And you can get me directly on the Twitter, the PL on Twitter. You can also check out the Cave Show every day at 3 as well on the Category Sports Network. Thanks to my main man, Burnett, for joining me today. Thanks for Lou. Good learning program, good fan, good caller, always welcome to hear his thoughts on everything going on. Congratulations to the very, very young Coco Gauff getting to the 16th in Wimbledon. Both like out. She's 15 years old. Imagine when she learns how to actually play tennis and when she gets stronger and better. And then you're watching a very dominant player. Until tomorrow at 1 o'clock, I'm sure probably 6 minutes later will happen. So we'll have more and more to talk about. By the way, I'm going to sign my job. Gary Parker has signed with the Atlanta Hawks. Until tomorrow, this is the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. Everyone have a great Monday. We'll talk tomorrow.